Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Spiegel and Company, the afternoon show at The Score with Spiegel.
Afternoons on The Score.
Kurt Warner joins us. Have you seen a higher caliber of quarterback play across the league or not through week two?
Yes. It's been better this week collectively, for sure.
All right, good. Well, tell us what you think of our guy who was on display last night and obviously was under a tremendous amount of duress. There were 36 pressures on 37 passes. You had 5 runs and 7 sacks. That's 49 dropbacks. But tell us what you thought of him in the totality of last night's game.
I actually thought there was a lot of improvement from Caleb. I thought he played more free in the pocket, you know, was moving his feet, was lighter on his feet. I thought he made a lot of good throws, and he was on time a lot more than he was in week number one.
Kurt Warner seeing the positives the day after the game. Others have as well. Old friend of the show, Chase Daniel, breaking down the tape. Saw a lot of positives. I think if you were watching the game, you saw in that first half, Caleb Williams looked good with the quick game. And it's something that we've talked about ad nauseum over the last 7 years with Mitch Trubisky and then with, obviously with Justin Fields, and then talked about it a lot when Tyson Bagent went 2-2 in his 4 games. Tyson Bagent was good at the quick game. I remember one of those games that Bagent played, I think was the Sunday nighter against the Chargers. Paul Pabst, my co-host today on Spiegel & Company here on 670 The Score. Paul, you remember that Sunday night game? Justin Herbert came in and destroyed the Bears with the quick game. It wasn't a lot of stuff downfield. Like, the plan was to just, like, fire blitzers at him and go crazy, and everything that he got out of his hands was quick. And it was a nice opportunity to say, you know what? Every young quarterback has to be able to do that. Every quarterback in the NFL has to be able to do that. Pat Mahomes could beat you with a quick game if need be. Josh Allen could beat you with a quick game, hitting their layups and such. So it's an inherent positive to see Caleb Williams be able to do that 2 games in, something that Fields never got to and Mitch never got to. He has to do more to win, but it was inherently a positive to see him do that. Do you agree, sir?
Yeah, that first half against the Texans, there was a lot of short passes, a couple first downs here and there. The one thing I love about Caleb is he's not a running quarterback. He's a scrambling quarterback. He tries not to break the line of scrimmage. But you can go back to early Tom Brady. They'd run 6-yard out patterns to Amendola. You go back to Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. It wasn't that exciting. Sometimes winning doesn't have to be exciting. It could just be first down, first down, first down. And that first half against the Texans felt really good. And you're not getting hit.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's the Brady stats you can look at. There's some of the Russell Wilson stats. And a texter reminded us the other day of Ben Roethlisberger. The first few years of Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers, they ran it like crazy. He didn't get over 3,000 yards until year 3, didn't get to 4,000 yards until like year 9 of his career. A couple of different 2,600-yard seasons there as they ran the ball like crazy and won tons of games. Like it happens a lot that a quarterback will start out like that as opposed to starting out like C.J. Stroud last year.
Yeah, if you go to look at the stats for quarterbacks in the NFL, throwing for a ton of yards isn't always a good thing. Matthew Stafford was going 5,000 a year for the Lions, and they were going nowhere. Mm-hmm. I think Jameis Winston led the league in yards 1 year. That's not a good sign if someone like that's doing it. So Yards are overrated. Go back again. I keep going back to Troy Aikman. If you look at Troy Aikman's stats, they're not getting you in the Hall of Fame. He had three huge days, and he was a fine player when he played.
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of those. Yards are overrated. This is not the Danny Parkins that I'm used to working with, ladies and gentlemen. It is not that way.
Is he a yardist? Is he an anti-yardist? What was he?
And a lot of us are. A lot of us are because we look around the NFL and we've looked at, you know, great quarterbacks and said, when do we get one? And the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer. Obviously, they've never had a 30-touchdown person. So it's like, you know, you're looking and you're hoping and you're waiting for yours. And I still believe that they have found the one who is going to transform the Bears' quarterback reputation. It may not happen right away. It's not happening right away. And we'll see if it does. But like C.J. Stroud said, a very unfair standard, and his coach DeMeco Ryans was talking about the state of young quarterback play around the NFL as Bo Nix struggles, as Caleb struggles, as Anthony Richardson struggled last week. Here's DeMeco Ryans on young quarterback play around the NFL.
One thing I think we all have to just take a step back from, we can't expect, you know, every young quarterback that's drafted to come in and just tear the league up right away. It doesn't work that way. Let's look at Peyton Manning and his career, how he started his first year. One of the best quarterbacks of all time. He didn't start off tearing the league up as a rookie. So we have to be patient with all the quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks, it takes a little more time than others, but it's just about everybody being patient and not everyone being so quick to crown the next superstar. Because it's hard to win in this league. It's hard to lead in this league, especially how young these quarterbacks are coming in and with the weight that's put on them. I think it's personally too much, and everybody's outside expecting them to come in and, you know, be the best in the league, and that's not it, right? You have to grow, you have to learn, you have to go through some growing pains, and that's how you get better and become, you know, a real true pro in this league.
But what about your guy, DeMeco? What about your guy? Yeah, I mean, look, so many of us were overexcited about the possibilities of Caleb from the get-go. And maybe we'll look back in a month or in 2 months and say, yeah, those first two games were a blip. It actually did work out like that, but maybe not. And there's a lot of different factors as to why it doesn't happen sometimes.
You know what? You almost had to look at the first couple games of the NFL season. Remember the old Olympic judging with figure skating? They dropped the high and the low score. There's got to be a game you just say, I'm going to pretend that game didn't happen. Or if somehow the Bears blank somebody 30-0, let's pretend that didn't happen. It's somewhere right in the middle. But if you look at development of quarterbacks, go back and look at Josh Allen's rookie year in Buffalo. He was not good. He was a mess. I think he threw for 9 touchdowns and 11 picks. His percentage was horrible. His rookie year stats were worse than Bryce Young's rookie year stats. His quarterback rating, everything. But they're patient, and they built around him, and they didn't freak out.
They didn't freak out, and he got his coordinator that really changed things for him, Brian Daboll. You know, and that's often what happens. In year two or year three, after a bumpy start, they get the coordinator. The young quarterback gets that person that transforms things for them. So it was Daboll there. It's obviously happened in other places. I think in Carolina, they thought that Dave Canales, who was part of things in Seattle with Geno Smith, was part of things in Tampa as well, I believe, with Baker Mayfield. Dave Canales, I think he was part of that.
Yep.
Let me double check on that. But I'm pretty sure, you know, because so you've got a couple different spots where that happened. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator last year for Mayfield, the Seahawks quarterback coach 2 years ago, along with Shane Waldron, the coordinator for Geno Smith. So they thought that was going to be the case for Bryce Young in Carolina, and that has not been the case for Bryce Young.
Yeah, we got to be careful how much we critique the David Tepper Carolina Panthers, because we still thank them for a lot of things they've done for Chicago as a community. But the Carolina Panthers, they set up Bryce Young to fail from the get-go. They traded a ton to move up in the draft. And so Bryce Young walks into that team, not a special offensive line. Their best player on their team, DJ Moore, is gone. Their defense is pretty decent. Brian Burns is now out of there, so there's another player gone. He went in completely uphill on that team. And I think if you look at Bryce Young getting sat down, getting benched this week for the Carolina Panthers, the blame's on the Panthers, on the ownership, on the GM. Bryce Young's kind of getting a hall pass. I think people are going to look at him and say, you know what? Maybe it wasn't his fault. He's still a great player and could be a great player somewhere else. Sam Darnold went to the Jets. Didn't work out. How's Sam Darnold doing now? A couple years later down the line with a team with a better infrastructure.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's so situational for what the quarterback can need. And that's what gave a lot of legs to the Justin Fields and Caleb Williams conversation in this town is we can admit that the situation mattered a lot for the evaluation of Justin Fields. But I could still look at it and see what I saw, which was a quarterback who takes a lot of time to make a decision in Fields and then a lot of time to release the ball in Fields and scrambles to run as opposed to scrambling to throw, like escapes the pocket looking to run as opposed to escaping the pocket looking to extend or climb the pocket and still look down the field, which you have to do. That's how you win in the NFL.
That's my single favorite trait of Caleb Williams is he fights not to cross the line of scrimmage and fights not to get hit. I bet a lot of people right now are saying, oh, Caleb Williams, slow start. Look at Jaden Daniels in Washington. He's putting up these really fun numbers. Jaden Daniels, I hope he makes it to the end of the season. He's taking three times as many hits, and these are hits past the line of scrimmage where he's kind of a sitting duck. I know Caleb got hit a ton last week, but he doesn't get hit past the line of scrimmage. He doesn't look for that.
No, and I'm with you. I talked about that right from the get-go in the preseason. You could see it where Caleb extends the play with eyes downfield all the time. He does not want to run. He will do it if he must, but he's not looking to do it, and that's the way. Paulie, were you watching the Bengals and the Chiefs Sunday in the afternoon game? But there was a big play as the Chiefs were driving to eventually set up Harrison Butker for the game winner, where the Bengals were rushing three. And Romo takes out the telestrator, and he had a great moment. He's like, you can't just rush three on Mahomes. He's going to go back like this. He starts drawing. He's going to go back like this, and then he's going to come up, and then he's going to come over here, and then he's going to have as many open targets as he wants at that point. And then the play happened, and it's like Mahomes ran exactly the pattern that Romo had put out there. You know that's what these guys are going to do with the opportunity. They're just going to scramble and move around the pocket to throw. You know, did that? Roethlisberger was great at that.
Yeah.
He was not a scrambler to run, but he extended plays like crazy and then would look down the field and make a play.
Yeah, peak Aaron Rodgers tried not to run. He'd just roll right and right and look and look and pump, and he'd try not to go. And then he'd begrudgingly do that Aaron Rodgers run for 7 yards out of bounds. Mahomes is the most frustrating guy in sports. I mean, the Bengals had that game. The Bengals had, I mean, by this much, they had a pass interference call at the end, and that's when enough. But he's one of those guys you do anything to give no time on the clock back to.
Yeah, no, you just absolutely can't. So, you know, what can the Bears learn from what went horribly wrong for Bryce Young? Because I'm not sure if people have seen a lot of Bryce Young and a lot of the plays, but that dude, that dude is broken right now. I mean, I know you said that people are blaming Carolina more than they are blaming Bryce, but you watch that guy. He's freaking broken. Like, he doesn't want to make plays from the pocket at all. He escapes as soon as he can, and he escapes out the back as opposed to stepping up in the pocket, and he's clearly damaged goods right now.
Yeah, that's why people are critiquing the Panthers, saying they've been irresponsible with how they handled him. He's not just a short quarterback. He's a slight quarterback. I don't know if you've ever seen Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson in person. They're short. They're not slight. They look like center fielders. They're stocky dudes. Bryce Young is slight and short. That's a team that should have overinvested in the offensive line right off the get-go, but they traded their whole draft. They made the mistake of falling in love and not being patient. And if you go to, like, I was listening to Mullin Hall this morning, and they had a stat where the Bears are the ninth from the bottom in offensive line investment. They had investment per position. And that bothered me more than anything, because when you have a rookie quarterback, you overinvest in the line. If the line works, everything works. Going back to Dak Prescott, all these different guys, if they walk in with a great offensive line, you can get by with average wide receivers.
Man. And that's the way Harbaugh's doing it right away. Now in San Fran, they got rid of all their wide receivers. Keenan Allen gets traded. Mike Williams leaves. You know, like, what is even the depth chart? I remember looking at that and thinking, what the hell are the Chargers going to do at wide receiver?
And Harbaugh's not going to be satisfied until he's Army football, where it's the triple option. You know, the guy does the little twist thing. The quarterback runs 12 times a game.
Yeah.
You know, they pass occasionally. The game should be in black and white. He wants that kind of offense.
They drafted Ladd McConkey to be their slot guy. Right. They've got Quentin Johnston, who is getting targets because someone has to, and he is their, you know, their theoretical big-bodied ex-wide receiver, and Joshua Palmer, Brendan Rice, a late-round draft pick, Jerry's son, is out there, but they're all about the freaking line. Joe Alt at right tackle, Rashawn Slater at left tackle, obviously, and they are running the hell out of the ball right now.
And look at what Harbaugh did up at Michigan. He went to Michigan and said, we're going to run the ball and de-emphasize, even though they had a very good quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. Last year, J.J. McCarthy would throw 12 times a game, 15 times a game. He did it when he needed to in the playoffs. But they said, we're going to run the ball. And if until you stop us, we'll keep doing it. Next thing you know, they got a national title.
What'd you say, NFL overall rushing yards or rushing attempts highest since the 80s?
Rushing attempts is the highest after two games since 1984. It's the most 100-yard rushers after 2 weeks since, I think, 96.
Wow. I mean, this is classic stuff. It's like, and I don't know if it's cyclical. I don't really think it is. You've always had to run the ball. You've always had to be able to run the ball. And good teams with explosive passing games still have to run the damn ball. And look what Houston did. Look what Houston did to capitalize on what they had last year. They've reinvested efforts in running the ball, and that's what they are doing. And you look at the top of the league in terms of rushing stats, it's the Packers, and it's the Chargers, and it's the Saints and Alvin Kamara who are rejuvenated, not on the strength of Derek Carr greatness, but on the strength of Clint Kubiak and Alvin Kamara in a rejuvenated running game.
Matt, you know football. I was wondering if some team someday in the near future, maybe Harbaugh's going that direction, where they lean so heavily towards the run that they could spend less at the quarterback position, spend less at the wide receiver position, invest in the offensive line. Draft running backs in the third and fourth round. Have them interchangeable. Isaiah Pacheco, the really good running back for the Chiefs.
Seven.
He was a seventh round draft pick. He makes $900,000 a year, and they'll never have to pay the guy. Now, they put all their money in Mahomes. But what if a team says, we're going to run it, and we'll spend all our money on the two sides of the offense and defensive line?
Well, the defensive line still gets invested in, but the offensive line does not get invested in, certainly other than the tackle spots. I was looking at a wheel of investment the other day. Ooh. Like the
I like that.
I'll send it to you. I'll send you my wheel of investment, my wheel of NFL investment that I was looking at. I forget where I saw it, but it was the lowest position for investment on the offensive side of the ball was fullback, understandably, because nobody has a fullback. Very few people, I should say, have a fullback. But number two was guard. So it was the combo of the guards. I think it was $8.4 million, so that's 4.2 was the average for each of the guard positions. And then it was center. So guard, center was 2, 3, and 4 in terms of lowest investment among teams in terms of their salary investment in on the offensive side, all in the NFL. Safety was dead last on the defensive side. So this is the thought process in roster building that even the former offensive linemen, Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, have bought into at this point, Paul.
I was wondering, I think about this during the week, because the first thing we heard all week was, you got to fix the offensive line, and it's hard to change personnel in week two. The Bears have a lot of draft capital going forward. Teams usually don't trade offensive linemen. The last big offensive lineman trade I can remember was Laramie Tunsil was traded a couple of years ago because he was going to get a big chunk of dough.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance the Bears have an extra second-round draft pick next year? Could they wait a couple more weeks and find a team that's already out of the playoff picture and that doesn't want to pay some 25-year-old guard or tackle and say, let's swoop in, let's dump a second-round pick and add to the offensive line immediately? Like the Montez Sweat trade last year. At first when they did it, I'm like, man, this is a rebuilding team. Why would you go for Montez Sweat now? I was wrong. That was a great trade. That was an aggressive trade. But something like that, when you have extra draft capital, that could work in the first 6 weeks of the season.
See, that's interesting. That's interesting, and it's something that we should keep tabs on and think about, and we should look around for guys in the final year of their contract,
yep,
at that position, at center or at guard, because they've got big issues. Nate Davis is a dog. He's a dog with fleas. He's paid and then apathetic. And there was talk that he was 100%er as a player in Tennessee before this, that he wouldn't practice unless he was at 100%. And for some reason, they scouted him and thought that if they paid him, he would then practice hard and play hard. That is a miss. That is a colossal miss in free agency that is costing them right now.
You know, I don't really care if you practice hard or not. If you play well, no one's going to ask if you practice hard or not. But there's a clip going around on Twitter for the past couple of days where Nate Davis is on like some type of downward blocking pattern, and he sees two different linebackers. And instead of going to the right or going to the left, he tries to split them. Like maybe he's trying to confuse one of them, but he hits nobody. And that is going all around the internet. Not good for his brand.
Yep. And there's a cut up of all his reps, which looks a little better. There are some plays that look good, but there are too many plays like that, especially coming on the heels of week one, when it seemed pretty damn clear that he got benched. He got benched against Tennessee for Ryan Bates. And because there was a play where he just let a guy go right by him on, I think it was a jet sweep, and he was pulling and a guy went right by him. And just after that, he got pulled and Ryan Bates came in. So you got Nate Davis problems. Ryan Bates, folks, has an arthritic condition in his shoulder.
Mom has that. That's what my mom had. If you have the same condition as my mom, and she's calling me all the time, she's texting me, she's out in Orland Park. What do I do? Who do I call? I don't know, Mom, but I'm worried about Ryan Bates' shoulder right now. I love you. I'll see you on your birthday, but I got to get Ryan Bates' shoulder fixed up, then yours.
It'd be awesome if they go to the same doctor. Hey, Paulie, this is your mom. She probably wouldn't have to tell you, and she probably doesn't sound like that.
She's not a big smoker.
Paulie, this is your mom. Ryan Bates is here. Ryan Bates is here to see my same doctor.
And my mom always gets confused with sports. She always gets like, she'd be like, Paul, there's a guy here from the Bears. I don't know his name. It says Bates on the back. And I'm like, it's Ryan Bates. He plays offensive line. She was once living in Florida, and she sees this tall guy, and she calls, she goes, Paul, there's some really famous guy who moved into the neighborhood. He's really tall and really famous. I'm like, oh, give me some more. She goes, I don't know, but his license plate says Bird 3-3 on it. I go, it's Larry Bird, Mom. I had a chastiser for not knowing Larry. I'm like, Mom, Larry Bird. Let's get it together.
That's awesome. So, cool. You've been in the business a long time. If Mom has she ever come up with a tip for you? Has she ever given you something like that leads to a guest booking on the DP show?
I wish she would have gone over to Bird and said, can you join the Dan Patrick Show 10:35 tomorrow and help a brother out? But, you know, my mom watches the Bears and she's in the same boat. But she always texts me like a week later. She'll text me like maybe Tuesday and she'll be like, what's going on with the offensive line? I'm like, Mom, that was last week's story. They just beat Indy.
Oh, God.
So she's like on a 7-day delay with Bears coverage.
Paul, my mom is while we're on moms, and that's one of my hot topics here on this show. I have a lot of commentary on moms.
He's on the mom beat.
My mom is a P1. So I don't know if you'd rather have what you have or a text from my mom, like after I say something and she'll say, ooh, I don't like that you just said that. So I don't know which one you'd prefer. But I think the way that your mom interacts might be a little bit more preferential.
Shane, she must be texting you like 17 times a week then.
It's 17 times a day.
She's getting on your case.
A day. Have to say that?
Texters wonder if the Bears should maybe just start your mom at right guard.
You know, she's got some, she could backpedal a little bit. I don't know if she could hold her ground in a tight situation. She's not a Kelsey type. I don't think she could do that type of play.
Had some issues at the combine, right? Like, didn't want to work out for everyone, right? Wasn't that, there was a thing with the character issues, right? That's what I heard. You can debunk that.
Right. She, you know, she's the only offensive lineman there wearing bifocals. You know, she drove up in like a Hyundai, whatever it is, Santa Fe, and they were.
There was one Scott that liked that a lot. It reminded him of himself back in the day.
Did your mom do a lot of hanging with Laramie Tunsil pre-draft?
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny that, though, but she's more of an edibles type.
Hey, as the driver of a Hyundai Tucson, you came dangerously close to insulting my car, you know?
Wow, I wish I had some ammunition on that before I started that bit.
But just to be clear, we love Hyundai here in the Hyundai studios.
Yes, we do! And Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin is an amazing place to shop for Hyundais. And if I were either Paul Papp's mom or Ryan Bates, that's where I would go to shop for Hyundais.
I like the Hyundai Santa Fe with that bronze color. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, all right, so good. So there you go. Is your mom's name Coleman Shelton by any chance?
Don't put that on her.
Don't do that. So we've got issues. But yeah, when I heard that Ryan Bates has an arthritic condition in his shoulder, I'm like, so what are we doing? So you chase this guy for 3 years, and you finally get him, and now he might not even play till after the London game, Brad Biggs said this morning. So they've got massive trouble. So what I'm saying is, your idea of maybe making a deal with that second round pick or with whatever ammunition you can use and get away with that is the least viable to look for a more viable interior lineman might have to be something that they consider at this point. It is Spiegel & Company. He is Paul Papst to the DP Show and the Tailgate on Saturday mornings here at The Score. A discovery in an Arizona jewelry store needs to be presented to the wealthiest Cubs fan you know. That story is next on The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Did you just put on your Cubs World Series ring?
I did.
God.
I did. I seriously have not put this on for like 2 years, and it feels good. It feels good. And I know how much you hate the fact that I got a ring.
Danny Parkins famously bothered by the fact that Mark Grody, who was the pre- and post-game host of the Cubs radio network, got a World Series ring. Why that bothered our boy remains a mystery. Because, I mean, those guys, when you're working and you're on the team flights, you're part of the esprit de corps. You're part of the team. You're a team employee. And so be it. It's Spiegel & Company here on 670 The Score. Paul Papst of the Dan Patrick Show and of the Tailgate here on Saturday mornings on The Score is my co-host today. When the Cubs gave out their 2016 World Series rings to players, to coaches, to executives and team employees, they apparently came with a caveat and a form that they had to sign. I'll get to that in a moment and why we are discussing it. But first, Paul Papst, I see behind you in your home studio, there is a copy of the Sports Illustrated cover from after the Cubs won the World Series. Have you ever held a genuine Cubs World Series 2016 ring in your hot little hand?
Oh, man, now you're making me bummed out. I never have. I've never had the chance. I did go to games 3 and 4 of the Cubs World Series. They lost both games. Walking from that game felt like a zombie walk afterwards. But no, I've held Super Bowl rings, but never a Cubs World Series ring.
Shane, you ever held a Cubs World Series ring in your hot little hand? The real deal?
Do I have one, you said?
Have you ever held one in your
yes.
hot little hand?
Yes. Yeah, my cousin worked there, and she has a real one. So okay. I've put it on. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? When the staffers get it, it's clearly not the same as, you know, Anthony
Rizzo's. No, dude. No, hers is the same one.
There are many different levels.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, she was, like, right under Crane. She was big time.
Okay.
I got to tell you that the real deal, saw one yesterday. Coomdog.
Coomer's guy.
Yeah.
And
he wears
always
it all the
just the best with letting people you know, touch it and wear it. You know, like he's awesome about that. He knows what it means to people to be in its presence.
I kind of thought that the staffers would get like almost like that old high school class ring, kind of like a JV version of the big boy that players get.
Yeah. Jostens, I think that's the company, right? Jostens?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my cousin keeps hers in a safety deposit box in a bank.
I have I have pictures from when a very inebriated Theo Epstein at the after party of the Hot Stove Cool Music Boston event at the hotel in Kenmore Square, when we asked, "Hey, can we see that ring?" And he just took it off and put it in our hands. 2017. It was so I've held it then, and other people, Brian Garza, the Cubs director of ticketing, a wonderful dude. He will let you hold it and let you put it on for a second. I ask because of this. Because this was discovered in an Arizona jewelry store in Scottsdale, Arizona. A friend of mine, the Estate Watch and Jewelry Company on Fifth Avenue in Scottsdale. I don't know if it's a pawn shop.
Nice neighborhood.
Yeah, right? Is it a nice neighborhood?
Old Town Scottsdale. Nice area.
Okay. So there it is. For $135,000, you could get yourself a 2016 Cubs World Series ring. I believe this is the first example of a legit Cubs World Series ring from 2016 that has gone on sale publicly like this. There were rumors that Ben Zobrist's ring was actually for sale, and that was debunked. That was debunked. Our friend Paul Sullivan wrote about it in the Tribune at the time in 2021 when that rumor was out there. So if you've got somebody who is who's been looking, been in the market for a Cubs 2016 World Series ring, you could get it for $135,000, which may or may not be negotiable out there in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Now, Matt, I have two kids. They're 15 and 13. They both would love to go to college. College, you know, it's a great thing for some people. It's a good thing for some people. It's maybe not for everybody. I'll tell you, though, daddy with a Cubs World Series ring, he'd be a happy dad.
Anderson Tavares was the pitching coach at Myrtle Beach, and he apparently is the one. He's now the Latin American pitching coordinator for the Baltimore Orioles, and he apparently has put his World Series ring up for sale. What I hadn't realized is this, Paul Pabst and Score listeners, is that when the rings were given out to non-uniformed personnel, the team was worried. This is from Paul Sully's article in 2021. And most of the recipients had to sign a document that included an agreement to offer the Cubs right of first refusal at $1. If they intended to sell them, the Cubs had the right to buy them back for $1. But players, manager Joe Maddon, and the coaching staff did not have to sign that document.
Wow.
How about that?
What a out. That's one of those things, like, what level of money do you have to have? Let's say you're a guy out there in Chicago, big Cubs fan. You're like 56 years old, and you got good dough, like really good dough. What level of funds do you have to run that past the home office and get that one approved?
Seriously, $135,000? Honey?
Right.
This is, I know, but we'll put it on display and downstairs in the Hall of Fame room.
I think you could talk Steen into it. Meatball Cubs fan wife of yours. Like, I think she would be, she'd at least have the conversation.
Actually, my friend Milt, you remember the basement that I was in with
Pappas?
No, similar.
Milt Pappas.
I call my friend Milt because Milt, he has Milt Pappas's, the ball from Milt Pappas's no hitter when Bruce Fleming.
He's a uniballer too.
Yeah.
Ball.
He's got that ball, and that's like the prize of an unbelievable memorabilia collection in the basement of my friend Milt's home. And he has these like World Series replica rings that he's gotten, and he gave me one. It's lovely. So I have a World Series replica ring at home, but it's not the real deal. Should I ask him? Maybe Milt would gift me with $135,000 ring.
Tell him it's a loan. Did you guys ever hear what happened with Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring years ago?
No.
You ever hear that one?
No. But that, so, it's funny because that's your other SI cover behind you there, Paul Pabst, is Walter Payton. Is that a Super Bowl one? What is that one, that SI?
That is Walter Payton, 1977, his first SI cover, New Stars of the NFL.
That's awesome.
Do you have a Walter Payton jersey, Paul?
I have only two football jerseys, a home and away Walter Payton jersey. That's all I have.
Okay, but something happened with the Walter Payton jersey, right? We talked about this.
Oh, I told you this in confidence, Shane.
You said use this if you want, so I'm setting you up for it. This is how we do this. I know you work with Dan Patrick. He's one of Marconi. I'm setting you up for it.
My mother, who we referenced in the last segment, when I was youngster, I asked for a Walter Payton jersey for Christmas. That's all I wanted. A Walter Payton, little Pauly Pabst. And she went to the store at the mall, Lincoln Mall down in the South Side. She got really confused, and she comes home, and I open it up on Christmas Day. Couldn't be more excited. You know that wrapping, and you can kind of see the colors,
yeah.
And I'm waiting for the blue or the orange or the white of the Bears, and I open it up, and then it's white, and it's green, and it's a Ron Jaworski Eagles jersey. I'm still a little triggered by this. I don't know if I can get through the segment. I mean, I'm still upset.
Oh, my. I thought maybe it was going to be like an Eddie Payton Detroit Lions jersey or something like that.
Fine with that. I would have taken a Virgil Livers, the cornerback. I would have been fine with a Dave Duerson jersey. That'd been super duper, you know. But
rest
oh
in peace.
My gosh,
could you see if there's a Virgil Livers had one ball for some reason that
yep.
triggers
Hold
in
on.
My
Let
mind.
Me call him.
You guys can call me crazy, but I'm excited about Tyler Palco tonight.
Virgil Ivers testicles.
Yeah. What do you got?
What if it automatically went? You put in Virgil Ivers and it finished
ball.
With the word testicles.
Yeah.
Nope. He's a two ball guy.
He is a two ball guy.
Yep. Two ball guy.
All right. It's too bad.
Not in the club.
See if he's
not
interested in losing one just to get into the club. Probably not. So you still have the Jaws jersey? Did you save that one?
Still had the Jaws jersey. I couldn't get rid of it. I saw it. I saw Ron Jaworski years ago. I met him. I told him the story. He goes, "I'm so sorry to disappoint you." I felt so bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What's that?
Virgil Livers was involved in a testicle injury.
That's true.
He needed someone on the Raiders in the testicles, and both exploded during a game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I had a testicular flashback regarding right. Virgil Ivers. I knew there was something of the testicular nature regarding Virgil Ivers. I just didn't remember exactly what it was.
Also, a great band name, Testicular Flashback, would be a fantastic.
I was gonna say, yeah, I think it's Saturday Metro, right? Saturday morning on XRT, they're doing that. Yeah.
At the Vic. Saw him at the Vic years ago.
That's a great jam band. Great jam band.
God, exploded testicles, huh?
Okay, quickly, the Walter Payton story. Walter Payton, years after retired, he has his Super Bowl ring. He goes to talk to a couple kids at a local grade school practice for football. One of the kids goes, "Can I show this to my dad?" And he goes, "Yeah, where's your dad?" He goes, "Oh, he's at home. He's not here." He goes, "Here you go." And he hands the kid, Walter Payton hands this young kid, like 12 years old, his ring, his Super Bowl ring. Kid takes it home, comes back to practice the next day. He lost Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring. He lost it. I mean, can you imagine in like 1990s losing Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring?
Oh my God.
I think it's 1995. They tear the house apart. They can't find it. The family's absolutely mortified. They're praying that they could find this. This is Chicago's hero. They go to the Payton house and say, "We can't find it." Walter, from the story I read, told them, "Don't tell anybody about this. Don't talk about this because it's not going to be pleasant. You know, like you're the family that lost Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring." The story never gets out. They looked for it. They tore the house apart. 4 years later, the next door neighbor kid is in college. He had a couch that he brought from home at Purdue. He reaches down into the couch for something like a quarter or a cell phone. He pulls out Walter Payton's Super Bowl ring.
Wow.
He's like, "Oh," he was shocked. He said, "Some kid at Purdue." He was the next door neighbor kid, not the kid who lost it. That night, from what I read, he drives back and gives it to Connie Payton like 2 days later, a day later.
Wow.
And he got the ring back after Walter Payton passed away.
Oh, my God. So, wow.
That's heavy.
That is heavy.
Where were you when you heard the big news, Wally?
Don't call me Wally.
Walter, not a big fan.
No.
Of the friendly nom de plume. That's a second Murph reference here for Southern Illinois.
Two too many.
One other Cub-related item for Cub fan Paul Pabst that we need to touch on before Mark Cody at the top of the hour gives you everything you need to know from the coordinators and more who spoke today at Bears practice. It's Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score.
Come on.
Hello, Paulie.
Hey, Paulie.
Paulie Pabst is my co-host today on Spiegel & Company. By the way, we've got some tickets for you to attend in the live studio audience from Mullion Hall on September 25th. They're broadcast from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mullion Hall will be joined by Bulls head coach Billy Donovan in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. All brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, when you hear Billy Donovan say this.
But, you know, as a couple of players said to me in the timeout, we need to move on right now. So, and they were right.
When you hear that, be the sixth caller to the contest line at 312-540-0670. Paulie always goes from rags to riches. Paulie, yeah. when you are coming to town, you're taking your family to a Cubs game. Is this correct?
Yeah, coming in with the family from the East Coast on Thursday. We're going to see Cubs 120 on Friday versus the Reds, and then going to the Bears games. Hard to find Bears tickets this year. Going to the Rams Bears on Sunday.
Wow, that's tremendous. So you, as a lifelong Cubs fan, have a choice that you need to make. Tell us more.
Yeah, let me run this by you. I'm going to use you guys as a sounding board here. My daughter's 15. She likes the Cubs because dad likes the Cubs, and she saw them when she was young win the World Series, but she really just wants a Cub jersey. And so she goes, Dad, can I have a Cubs jersey? I'm like, yeah, you're a good kid. You stay out of trouble. The grades are pretty good, a couple of B pluses. And I go, what, do you want me to pick one out? She goes, no, I like to pick one out. So she comes back and she picks a couple players from this team and a couple guys hitting under 250 on the team. She throws some names out. She doesn't know one player on the Cubs.
Okay.
I go, well, what if you went with like a classic player? Why don't you get a nice Anthony Rizzo jersey? That will stand the test of time. He's on scholarship as a Cub. You wear a Rizzo jersey, you walk in with a lot of street cred into Wrigley Field. She goes, no, I just want any player on this team. I'm like, I don't know. Then here's the kicker. My wife goes, I'll handle this because, you know, we were debating a little bit. She was going to buy one online. She came two clicks away from buying a Baez jersey because it was on sale.
Oh, boy.
And I said, you know, Baez was a great player, a lot of good memories of Baez, but he's not on the team anymore. And it's, you know, it's not really, I don't know, maybe there's some street cred there. Where do you guys lean? What direction should I go in here?
All right. So here's the deal. Are you interested in her feeling an ongoing connection to your team, to this team?
Yeah, I'd prefer it. I like to give my kids freedom of choice because I know no matter what team you pick,
sure,
there's some pain involved. And she, you know, she did see the Cubs. She was pretty young when the World Series, so she's got one in her lifetime. She doesn't really need one again for a little while. But yeah, I would like her to have choice to a point.
Okay, well, you should. Well, I mean, you should let her choose somebody on the current team, in my opinion. There are some very good options on this team, and she would have an instant emotional attachment, especially if she sees the player that day. And I must admit, I do have a specific player in mind as we're talking about this. There are a few different ones that all work hard, bust their asses, and are probably okay, going to be here. But you could also do the thing where you let her choose while she's here and let her fall for a player while she's here and then go get one in the middle of the game.
Sir, I think that's a good call. We're going to walk around Wrigley Field. What is it, Rally House up there? You could pick up some gear. I'm thinking about leaning towards Shota. And I think, what's the contract situation with the Cubs pitcher?
Yeah, Shota's under contract for at least another 2 years. Very manageable. He's super, super fun and likable. The other guy, I mean, Pete Crow Armstrong, that guy he's on the come right now as a speedster and a great defensive center fielder who is learning to hit in the big leagues. He's super exciting and fun, and she'd probably think he's cute.
I do like the name Pete Crow Armstrong. It kind of reminds me of an SEC quarterback from the 70s and 80s, like a John David Booty or a John Parker Wilson. I love three-name players.
Peter Tom Willis.
Peter Tom Willis, great call by you. I'm not big on hyphens. I'm anti-hyphen, but I love PC.
All right. Tanny's shaking your head.
I'm disgusted with you, Speed.
What?
The fact that you didn't pick, first of all, I understand why she would want to have a connection with the current team. That's perfectly fair. But the fact that you didn't say one guy, speaks.
Nico Hirona.
Our guy Nico. Like, when I look at the Cubs, I'm not a Cubs fan, but when I say if I had 25 Nico Horners that I'm going to win a lot of ball games. Oh,
26, is, by the way. It's 26
no, but you tough. You got the original one also.
Right.
So he's 25 extra is what I meant to say.
Right.
This is the hard part. This is the hard part. I'm afraid they're going to trade him this offseason.
They're not going to trade him. He's a Cub for life. He's getting the next statue.
I don't want Pauly Papp's daughter to invest in a jersey for somebody who might end up getting traded.
It's Nico. Or Willie Harris.
Nico's the best. Nico is absolutely a delightful man, a wonderful player, and a really, really good dude. So
I had this suggestion a year ago. Let me run this one by you. Should they make like Fanatics or wherever you order your gear, you buy it at the Rally House? What if you had jersey insurance and you buy a jersey of a player, and if that player gets traded, cut, leaves the team for whatever, you pay like a $10 surcharge. You could return that jersey for another jersey. Jersey insurance.
That's a great idea. I really like that idea. You at least get like a credit towards your next jersey. I think you're onto it. That's right there with the passenger seat buffet. We are inventing things and changing the world right here on Spiegel & Company.
I'd love that for my Esteban Loaiza jersey. After Where's all the cocaine?
Now? Yeah, all the cocaine. Yeah, it's funny. My Ugeth Urbina jersey, also not aging well.
So NFL.com does have this policy, Paulie. So it says a free replacement jersey if the active pro player you purchase switches teams within 90 days of purchase.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
The best deal you're going to get from old Roger Goodell.
That's not so bad.
It's not bad.
Not so bad. He's Paul Papps at Spiegel & Company. Mark Grody is next with all the latest from the Bears. Dave Wanstead in an hour on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.